Blog Talk Radio.
I dream of a city called glory, so bright and so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, "Holy!" The angel, oh, met me there. They carried me from mansion to mansion. Oh, the sights I saw. Then I said, I want to see Jesus, the one who died for all. I bow my knees and cry, and as I entered the gates of that city, I talked with Mark, sat down with Timothy, but I said, Timothy,
glory, 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 I clap my
welcome to the Sound Doctrine Broadcast with Dr. Ventura, coming to you live from Southern California in the most southwest city of Imperial Beach. We've got Nathan up there in South Carolina on the controls and Switchboard coming up out of New York. And we just want to thank the listeners for joining in tonight. We hope that you had a wonderful week and God's blessed you, and I'm sure He has. And I hope that the lesson last week that we studied really lifted you up and gave you something to think about for the week and improved your life and your Christian walk. Tonight we're going to do something a little bit special. Every now and then I find somebody I feel is worthy of coming onto the broadcast and giving them time and a God-fearing man and clean language, clean speech, and who's interested in doing something for our community down here in the Imperial Beach area in San Diego County. And we are in a small city. For those of you who don't know, Imperial Beach has about 27,000 residents, and its whole runs from the ocean to about 13 blocks or so. And so we're a small beach community. And tonight we have a special guest. You know, it's election time, and I've always said God will give us the people we deserve to lead our country. And I heard today that somebody told Mike Pence that should Hillary Clinton get in, they were going to go get a musket. It's time for a revolution. Amen. But I don't know whether that. I know Mike Pence looks scared. And by the way, he needs some prayer. His airplane just skidded off the runway. Nobody was injured. Well, we thank you for joining us tonight. And we have Moises Camacho with us tonight. And he's going to come on in just a little bit. And he's going to tell us about his vision for Imperial Beach, California. And who knows, you know, this young man is fired up. He's got some wisdom, and he's politically smart, not politically correct, because we don't want to hear from anybody who's politically correct. We're tired of that. You know, we preach the Bible here on this program. There's nothing politically correct about that. Amen. But God's good. And Moises is going to come on. He's going to tell us some things. We're going to ask some questions. Callers are welcome to call in. The number's 347-945-5416. And if you press extension 1, you get in live. And into the host queue, Nathan's at the switchboard. He'll get you hooked up and line you up. And there's also a chat box if you're on the internet tonight. And if you can't listen to the whole program, you can certainly go back at any time and archive these programs by going to Nathan on the Spot and punch in Sound Doctrine Broadcast or Dr. Ventura, and you'll find the link for the archives. And you can go back and archive the program. If you want to share it with somebody, forward it, you can download it. You can do a lot of things with it. So feel free. We're happy to, you know, assist you in any way. Also, I have Brother Lewis with me, Lewis Brackett. He's been on before. He's taught some programs here. He's taught some great lessons, done some preaching, and he's an author, theologian, and well-grounded in the Bible, and a politician of sorts. He's a great fisherman, too, by the way. So without any further ado, I'd like to give just a scripture reading, something that, because we are a Christian broadcast, and we want to the people here to think about this verse. This is a powerful verse, especially Christian people. It's scripture says in Second Chronicles 14, it says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Amen. And so let us have a quick prayer, and we'll get these people coming in. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to have this broadcast program tonight. I ask you to bless the listeners and to your son be glorified in this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, Nathan, we'll be happy to take the call. Do I have you live, Moises?
Yes, Peter. How are you doing?
Good, Moises. How are you?
I'm excellent. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule tonight. I know you're up in Los Angeles. You're in a lot of meetings, and so we just wanted to call and pick your brain a little bit, and we thank you for doing that. We've asked some other city council from time to time if they were interested, and, you know, I think they're afraid to talk about their vision, so... you know, they've kind of skirted us, and we're glad that you're here with us. I have Brother Lewis Brackett sitting here with me. Also, he's had most of his life in this area. And I understand the position you're running for. Will you want to tell us a little bit about that, Moises?
Yeah, absolutely. And good afternoon, Brother Lewis. Or I should say good evening.
Good afternoon.
So there's, if you're not aware, there's two vacant seats. One is an incumbent that is running to get reelected, and there's one seat that actually became vacant by Mr. Bill Bray. And, you know, there's been quite a few questions that have been thrown my way in regards to why I'm looking to run for city council and things of that nature. And, you know, it's politics is something that I've always been in very, very interested in. Here's the thing for me. If you cannot dedicate yourself 100% of your time to doing something and doing it well, then you take the time to learn about it and be exposed to it. And not that I don't know about it, but, you know, now's the time for me to move forward and do that. Peter, you are, you know, some of my family members. And, you know, my son recently graduated from Mar Vista High School, and it's given me that freedom now to where, okay, I got a little bit of freedom. I can go ahead and invest it back into the community. And basically put myself out there with the support, of course, of the family, because without family, you really can't move forward with anything that you want to accomplish. But so like I said, there's two vacant seats this year that are up. One person's up for reelection. One is completely vacant. And there's good candidates out there. But you know what? It's all going to come down to what they're trying to do for the community and experience.
Well, that's true. That's true, Moses. That's true. And tell me, would you consider yourself an outsider?
Absolutely, Peter. Let me tell you that I am by far, I have no political association to anything with the city of Imperial Beach. You know, some people call it the unbiased, the lone wolf. And not necessarily would I use the term of lone wolf. You know, for me, it's just I am an outsider looking in. I do not belong to any political party. I do not sit on the mayor's board or anything like that. But here's the thing, Peter, that in order for change to happen, you need to be an unbiased person. You need to step yourself away from the current bureaucratic way of doing things in Imperial Beach. And, you know, it's always it's a neat thing for me to be able to see it from the, you know, from the high level perspective view. Especially, I don't know if you've ever attended any of the city council meetings, but if you have, you can relate to some of the things that go on in there. And for me, it's just I really like the fact that I have not been basically, should I say, swayed by doing what's right for the public in the interest of appeasing or appealing to what's currently in place. All I'm looking for is to be that change. And, you know, I truly believe Imperial Beach needs change, and they need it. They need it now.
Well, before we talk about your vision for change for Imperial Beach, I want to clarify something for our listeners, because when I said you were an outsider, I mean outside of the political circle that's been in there for years. But and that's what I meant. I mean, you're familiar with Imperial Beach. I wouldn't want anybody to think that you're not a resident over here. And how long have you spent in Imperial Beach?
So let me just share that with you. I actually grew up in the South Bay. For me, Imperial Beach has, I'll tell you where I started my stint. You know, I first got introduced to Imperial Beach when I joined the NJROTC program at Mar Vista High. And, you know, I had a mentor there and by the name of Colonel Hanthorne. He's now retired. He actually allowed me to, you know, start my endeavors in the great city called Imperial Beach just by giving me the opportunity to go from the where I would have had gone to Southwest. But that ROTC program allowed me to really get my feet wet with Imperial Beach. I've been in Imperial Beach over 20 years now, and, you know, it's home for me. As I stated, I went to Mar Vista High School. The NJROTC program allowed me to join the Marine Corps right out of high school. And, you know, if somebody asked me, well, you've only been living here for 20 years. But keep in mind, for me, the South Bay has always been Imperial Beach. It doesn't really matter if you lived on, you know, First or Second, Date, Elder, whatever you know, whatever street you live on. But I actually grew up in what they labeled as the east side of Imperial Beach, which is on Cala, and, you know, behind the, I don't want to call it the, I forget the name of the park, but it's next to the All-American Car Wash in that area. Hopefully I answered your question by that, Peter.
You did. You did. No, I wanted to clarify that because I didn't want somebody to say, well, you know, he's an outsider. He's coming in from out of town. That's not true. You are familiar with the area. And you're a veteran. You served our country. You've taken an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States. And I think that's important. And I think we have people in politics today who don't care about the Constitution and the laws of our nation. They make their own up. And, you know what's going on in the general election. But
absolutely.
I just wanted to clarify that. I also wanted to say, now that you've mentioned the east side of Imperial Beach, I think that one of the things, and I have to be honest with you, I grew up in New England, and I've been out here in Imperial Beach for approximately 7 years. My wife has been here for 20 years. She's a 20-year Navy veteran. I'm a Navy veteran. And one thing
well,
I've
thank
noticed.
Thank you for your service, Peter.
Well, you're welcome, and thank you for being my inspiration. But I, one thing I'd like to say is ask you is this: What are we going to do for the East Side? Because the East Side, it appears to me, is a neglected side of Imperial Beach. The people on the East Side seem to have suffered neglect at the expense of Seacoast Drive. Am I correct in that?
I would agree with you. I've always said this, that Imperial Beach isn't from Seacoast to Fifth, or what they like to consider up to Fifth. In walking some of the neighborhoods, and I've been doing a lot of walking through, especially the east side, they feel a little left out, if I can describe it that way. They feel that although they live in Imperial Beach, they really don't see any of the beautification processes that are taking place today. So it is, in a sense, left out, and that's a terrible thing to say, especially being that they are part of the community. Let me go take a step back here, Peter. And the way that I've approached this, the door knock in is that I always introduce myself, and I like to tell people about my values, things of that nature, right? Let me just say this: for me, family always comes first, right? Integrity matters. Service above self is something that I pride myself with. Honesty is given. Humility is a gift. And one of the things that I learned in the Marine Corps is that decisions impact people. And I think today decisions are being made in City Hall that they're not encompassing everyone in Imperial Beach, if that makes sense to you.
It does. It does make sense to me. Go ahead, brother.
Go ahead, Peter. I'm sorry.
And I would ask you this. Let me ask you this. I've heard of Patton and some of these other people talking who are running for office again and again. And I've heard, they want to bring commercial business into Imperial Beach, but they've made it so hard for myself. I would like to purchase a piece of property or rent a piece of property down here to start a Christian academy. And the church, my church have a place to go and those type of things. And in order to get that, you're talking about coastal permits. You're talking about mixed use permits. You're talking about $200 for a sign. You're talking about $1,000 for an application.
Absolutely. So, I will maybe give you a little bit more insight into my position with that. So I definitely believe that Imperial Beach needs council members with experience in handling development pressures and proposals in IB. We have leverage here in Imperial Beach, and that's what a lot of people don't understand. We need to actually use that leverage, and I do support managed growth, not solely focused on increased density when the city along with the residents do approve the new bills, but we need to ensure that all of IB is included to continue to talk about the east side. Future redevelopments, plans, not just areas where the eye can see, and I always say that, not where the eye can see, right? We always got to focus on that because we are forgetting about a lot of people that live in Imperial Beach, and guess what, Peter? A lot of these people also vote. To your point about small businesses, I just helped out a good friend of mine, Luigi, just opened up his pizza place on Seacoast. I don't know if you've had a chance to go by there, but check out their food. It's actually really excellent. But I had an opportunity to help him from the start of his business to where he was stripping the building. I saw the permitting stuff that he was giving me access to, and I found that pretty shocking because you're trying to open up a business in Imperial Beach, and it's almost – you're going to go broke. I hate to use that word, but trying to start your own business up. I'll give you another example. If you haven't, it's called the Originos. It's a barbershop that's located where behind the scoreboard. They, Lacey and Danny, are actually the owners of this place, and I was shocked, Peter, that they put a sign that says now open on their roof, and they had a fine of over $1,000 for that of taking place. And, you know, it's just, to me, I come from the corporate world where, you know, I am a manager, a senior manager of a business development for Cox Communications, and this is what we do on a day in and day out. We help small businesses, you know, start up, establish themselves in the community, and grow, you know. But to your point, Peter, you want to open up something up. Some of the ideas that I've thrown out there that maybe haven't been welcomed as much as they should, and I think this is just due to lack of vision and understanding what it takes to start a small business. You know, possibly we can consider doing some sort of, you know, for the next 12 months, a moratorium on, you know, the licensing fees, how do you beautify your own business if you got to pay for something to make that improvement happen. To me, that makes no business sense. And Imperial Beach can start a small business boom, given that you have the right leadership in place that allows them. And, you know, you want to attract small business into Imperial Beach. Currently today, Peter, that is not the case.
That's very good, Moses. And I agree with you. And I've heard good things about the pizza place down there, by the way, on Seacoast. Very good things. But I want to say that what you're saying about the businesses and the fines, and I get that. And so it's all about revenue. They're trying to generate revenue. They just redistricted or rezoned a lot of places that were mixed use, and they've made them residential. So they've cut out opportunity for certain places to become businesses. Now they've I don't know if you're aware of that. They rezoned. They did a lot of rezoning up here in Imperial Beach. And in doing that, anybody who didn't renew whatever they had, their entitlement, such as a church or another business, it went to residential. And so those lands are lost. And that's what happened down here. But my question, not really a question, but my thought is this. One thing I think Imperial Beach is missing is an attraction. What do we have that attracts people to Imperial Beach? I mean, we had sandcastles at one time. We don't have a parade like Coronado or other places near us. But there seems to be that, you know, Mission Bay and Mission Beach, they have, you know, the amusements. But there's not an attraction down here that would specifically draw people as tourists into Imperial Beach.
Yeah, there was one thing, Lewis. There was one thing that I was thinking about recently. You know, you got like 10 miles of beach there, and just north of the pier, you got two jetties. And I was thinking about getting the Port District to actually lengthen one of those jetties out beyond the surf zone and then bring it around, you know, to the southeast. So you actually make a harbor, a small harbor there, so they could launch kayaks and those small, you know, catamaran sailboats and whatever, and have somebody on the beach there renting them like they do in Coronado. And that would be a great draw, you know, for the, you know, places that rent rooms and the hotel there. And that'd be a special draw for people. The fishermen could bring their kayaks down and launch them there without having to try to beat themselves to death getting through the surf. You know, and I think that would be a great idea. And it would bring people down there, and it would be a unique thing. And I don't think anybody else on the coast has something like that. What do you think, bud?
Well, I'll tell you what. There's been a lot of great ideas that I've come across. You know, I've heard, you know, putting the marina back in Imperial Beach. You know, I heard the same kind of idea with the jetty that's back there, creating a children's pool, zoning it out somehow, and creating something for, you know, families to come to Imperial Beach, you know, increase tourism. But anything that we can do bring additional tourist money, to taxes to the city, I am fully supportive, you know, as long as we do it in a way where a liability is not an issue to the city itself. But, you know, I think fresh ideas is what the city needs. And I'll tell you what, one of the things that I would do as well is I come to the table with ideas, not ideology. You got to be a voice of the people. And in the world that I come from, some of the greatest ideas come from the frontline folks, you know, and people need to understand that an example, putting a boat slip out there or something that, you know, it can increase revenue to the city. What it's also going to do, it's going to increase foot traffic to the businesses along Seacoast. And I will tell you what, I don't see anybody complaining about things like that, but I think that is a great idea. You know, there's additional developments that are going or taking place today that, you know, you have to put something in Imperial Beach. The beaches are great. The pier is awesome. The people here in Imperial Beach are, you know, one of a kind. But what is attracting people to stay here locally and spend locally? And today we don't have that. So, I mean, that is a definite idea that I would definitely entertain, you know, putting forward, you know, with elected to the council.
Well, Moses, I have a friend, and I'm sure you're familiar with them. They own the West Coast Grill. And they say one of the major problems for them as a business is getting people to turn that corner off of Seacoast Drive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting them in order to get revenue into their business, and it's a great business, and they serve wonderful food, and they're really nice people, and it's a community meeting spot. I go there often. My wife has been meeting there for years, and people from the community meet there in the morning at about 5-6 o'clock, and there's a lot of community atmosphere there. But the owners and I, we had a conversation, and because I had to go with her as a paralegal to a city to talk to the city manager over the farmer's market, where they were trying to kick her out of the farmer's market because she was selling cookies and somebody else was selling cookies, something silly. But she said the greatest problem they have is getting people to turn that corner, you know, to come up that way off of Seacoast
right.
Drive. And so, you know, that's something you have to consider also. But more so speaking, and I think Lewis's idea is a great idea. I think it's a wonderful idea, and I think that's an attraction to bring people down this way. But I also think that one of the reserves that you'll find in the city council that's there now and with the mayor and the past mayor is that the concern is that we would lose that small beach town feeling. And how do we expand commerce in the area without losing that feeling? And that's why I think they've made it so difficult for businesses, because they don't have a vision on how to keep our community, a beach community, that old-fashioned Southern California taste, and expand business. How do you get around that?
Well, you know, that's a good question. That was one of the questions that I was actually asked recently, maybe a couple of weeks ago, about how do you keep the identity in Imperial Beach, especially with the new developments that are happening. And, you know, it's a safe thing to say that people are concerned that, hey, you bring corporate into Imperial Beach, we're going to lose our hometown feeling. In my opinion, I don't believe that is the case, you know. You mentioned something about mixed-use buildings, if you're referring to the stuff that's happening today on Seacoast Drive or maybe even the current 9th and Palm project. Let me just give you a little insight in regards to my experience with mixed-use buildings, okay? For me, it's a term that we use a lot at Cox Business, or it's a term that I hear a lot, okay? So for me, mixed-use is a term that means a lot of different things to different people. At its base, it just means a single real estate development that incorporates several different uses. So we're talking about retail, we're talking about office space, even the hotels, residential schools, etc. It definitely implies that those that are designed to work together complement each other, so both mixed commercial and residential today on Seacoast. When it's all said, you know, when it's all done well, I will tell you, I've seen my fair share of excellent redevelopment, mixed-use commercial and residential setups. I will say this, that what's going along Seacoast Drive today, adding a commercial to a residential development offers the prospect of elevated sales and property taxes to the city, okay? To begin, the land is used more efficiently. You're able to gain favorable density from residential and retail standpoint by, like I said, vertically stacking uses. So the new mixed use, people are afraid of that, but you know what, Peter? What it's going to end up doing, it's going to give Imperial Beach a much-needed facelift, and I hate to say that, but it's also going to instill pride back into your Imperial Beach. You know, you see what's going on today with the condos across from the brewery place that sits across the pier. And at first people were saying, well, we don't like that, but now that it's all said and done, people are actually saying, you know, I saw some of the homes behind it. People are taking the time to fix up their yards or getting that sense of pride again. So I don't believe the identity will be erased or, you know, taken away. It's simple to say, Peter, that people fear change, but change is inevitable.
Okay.
We just got to understand how to do it.
I agree with you. Change is always inevitable. Hold on 1 second, Moses. There's a caller in there. You want to put them through?
Yeah, I'm on.
Oh, who is it?
It's Scott.
Oh, how are you, Scott? Do you have a question for Moses tonight?
I was just kind of listening. But, yeah, so, you know, the school, you know, the school having all this construction around Mar Vista right now?
Yes.
What is the plan to alleviate the traffic there? I see it looks like on Elm, it looks like it's going to be one way or something like that.
Yeah, Scott, if I can give you my opinion on that, listen, the redevelopment of Elm, I think that it's done for two things, right? So you talk about safety for the kids that are coming out of Mar Vista or just anybody walking along. That street is definitely busy in the afternoons. I mean, I haven't seen it. Thank God that nobody's been injured walking off the sidewalk while cars are speeding. It is being turned into a single lane the last time I checked. I really was not part of that. I think I would have liked to seen additional potential ideas to this beautification / redevelopment of Elm. A single lane, I think it's going to cost more congestion than easing things. You know, it's just, I'm sorry, but it's already in play. Do I agree with it? I will be honest with you and say, in my opinion, I think that they could have done or looked at additional plans to subside some of the traffic that's now going to happen, because a single lane in both directions, that's not, I mean, in, let's just say single direction now, is not something I would have done.
Yeah, and my other question is, how is that going to affect, like, streets like Connecticut and the fifth or fourth up there?
I will say it's definitely going to increase traffic through the entire Connecticut and Elm and fourth, because what you're seeing now is, I mean, I can tell you from experience, my wife picks up my daughter at Ivy Charter, and she has to go all the way up past the baseball field at Mar Vista, takes a right, and then comes down on Elm to, you know, it's a big loop now that's going to happen. So we're going to have to do something with that four-way stop that sits, you know, on Coronado and Connecticut.
And that'll probably – and that's – and you know what? Connecticut Street right now is a raceway. It's a raceway. And people are blasting up there from both sides of the street past the school on Connecticut. And really, you know, you'd have to – I think that a great idea is maybe a stoplight down there on the corner of Imperial. But you're also going to have some type of speed bumps or some kind of law enforcement. There seems to be a lack of law enforcement in that area that people are coming – you know, it's a school zone. It's 25 miles an hour. There's people traveling 40 miles an hour through there, and there's a lot of children on the street, and so that's, you know, that's that. I understand what he's saying. That's a concern, and I wasn't aware that Elm Street was going to be a one way. I think that's the biggest disaster to Imperial Beach yet in their beautification. I can't see how that improves anything or makes anything any safer. It's going to jam traffic up on both ends. And like you said, it's going to be a giant loop, which is going to make people more frustrated who are going to speed more up to get out of that area.
Yeah, you know, and Peter, like, if I could add my thought behind that, you know, you got to, in what we do nowadays, you got to be able to see the pros and cons to things. Does it help out the students? Does it alleviate foot traffic quicker away from the schools? And for me, the answer is yes, but there's also a risk of additional traffic that's going to be in the area. Could that be a good thing? Not per se. Will it bring additional traffic to Imperial Beach? Hands down, yes. So I think that if it is truly going to be a one-way that I've heard that that's the case, I have not seen those plans, so I can't really say that it's in concrete, set in stone. If it is one way, I think we're going to have to look at something on that.
Well, here's what I see. I see people coming to the end of Connecticut, making a left. It clearly says the road's closed that way. Do not enter. And yet they want to go to 7-Eleven, so they're going to, you know, they still make that left and go. And so I could see that still happening after the road work's completed. Instead of people driving all the way around to the stop sign to get to Palm, they're just going to bus that left, and it's a two-way street, and they're going to come up that one way the wrong way just to get in the shorter distance to get where they have to go, especially people working Coronado in that area. But
oh yeah,
when I look at the housing, Moses, and I'm sure you're aware of this, you know, there's a lot of – we have that new neighborhood down towards Saturn, which is putting quite a few thousand people in our area. And then the United States Navy is about to build more housing on the other side of Imperial Beach by the donut shop there where the trailer park was. And then a long-term project after that is to go where the elephant cage, the radar cage, was and to build more housing there. And so, you know, that all has to be considered. But somewhere in the back burner, I was talking to the city manager some time ago, and he said there was a long-term plan, and I'd like your opinion on this, quite a few years ago, to bring the Strand through Seacoast, to join it to Seacoast instead of bringing it straight down Palm. What do you think about that?
You know, that would take some big work for that to happen. Can it be connected today, Peter? There's a lot of tests that need to take place before that happens. I know today that those developments that you mentioned, I mean, listen, Imperial Beach, definitely we run out of space to put new homes in, and, you know, what they did, utilize the old school that was there, and now it's a single-family home setup, which last time I heard, I believe about 80% of those homes were already sold, so people want to come towards Imperial Beach, right? That second development you mentioned that sits on the old trailer park, I think that's a huge plus for Imperial Beach, especially given the fact that that new military base, or the, what, you know, you call the elephant cage, is now going to be the campus for the Navy SEALs. We're going to have to put some, you know, people in homes, whether they built military housing or not. That's going to have to help out some way. So, to answer your question, I will say this. I support 100% the military installation being built. The reason why, it's gonna be an important part of the economy going forward for Imperial Beach. Can they put the Strand into Imperial Beach, you know, connecting to Seacoast? I don't see why they wouldn't. But then we also got to take a look at how much more traffic that's going to bring into Imperial Beach, and do the residents of Imperial Beach want that? That's the question that we need to be able to answer.
Just north of Imperial Beach, between the IB border and where the dinosaur cage or whatever was, the Navy has a large recreational facility there right now. And, of course, any road would have to go through that. So that's another question you're going to have to, you know, address as well.
Well, let's bring that back down to
Camp Soup is right there.
Right, right. Well, you know, the eminent domain, you know, you don't know what would happen there, which is scary. But now that now I'm looking at your vision, Moses, and I'm understanding something that I didn't understand before. And you're absolutely right. We are going to need more housing. And so property values in Imperial Beach are definitely going to go up. I mean, residents should be thrilled about that. I was speaking to a real estate agent recently outside of California who told me in the whole country, this particular area is one of the most sought areas in the country, of the United States of America, was Imperial Beach right now. It's being sought out. And home values, you know, I had a friend on 8th Street who put a house on the market on Friday. It was gone Tuesday. So definitely. But now I understand your vision about residential and commercial mixed use. And that can work, and it'll probably be necessary in order to get additional housing for people. I understand what you're saying, and I think that'll draw additional revenue to the city itself. Rather than taxing us to death and killing us for a business license. You know, maybe you're not aware of this, but I went to use the community center, and I'm a nonprofit, but for a resident of Imperial Beach, they were charging me $10 and $20 more than if somebody came from out of town to rent it.
That's insane. I'm sorry to say that, but that's not how you treat people that make your community. You know, this is one of the things that made me want to do something about it, you know, Imperial Beach's current state, and actually run for office, simply because I've taken place of these, you know, in these meetings, Peter, that the folks that live in Imperial Beach have 3 minutes to bring up a problem that they want to present in front of the council. And I mean, keep in mind, 3 minutes. You need to present your problem, give me your solution. And I just didn't like the fact that these people, the same people that elected these representatives to council, are being treated in a way to where you don't matter. You're not part of what we do. You know, that to me, that's not how you run a business. That's not how you treat people. That is not how you get things done. After all, who votes for these people? You know, the citizens of IP do.
One thing Peter and I are interested in is the police department. It's been my experience that they're kind of aloof in that, you know, they're the county mounties and they don't really have an intimate connection to IB, and that IB really should, you know, have its own police department because, you know, the police, among other things, is a public service that is intermediary in many cases between the people and the government. And you don't always get the best service of farming it out. My personal experience is I haven't, you know, so.
Well, I have mixed opinion on that also. I know we had a police force here. In
we
fact,
did.
I saw photographs of it. And one of the ladies who meets at the West Coast Grill with us, name is Diane. Her son was a police officer. And I saw some pictures. In fact, somebody had a cup they showed me with the old shield on it. And so I like the idea of the sheriff's department because for one reason, because we get a rotation of officers. So there's not that French, you know, that over friendly relationship where you're going to have favoritism among the citizens. But I also like the idea of having a local police department that responds, you know, is right there. And I'm not saying the sheriff's department here doesn't respond because we've called several times for different things over the last 7 years. And, you know, when they get there, it's all about business and, you know, they're on point for the most part, but I think they're overspread too a little bit. But having a local police department, that puts a new perspective on things. What do you think about a local police department?
You know, Peter, same setup, same answer I'm going to give you. I've been asked this question plenty of times. I definitely support our first responders, whether they're police officers, EMTs, firefighters, Border Patrol agents. I believe that having a rotation in place does keep things fresh, and it does keep, you know, the officers being part of the community. Now, could we do something different? Can we involve the sheriff's department a little bit more in the city? Absolutely, hands down, yes. In regards to keeping a small local police or our own police department here in Imperial Beach, you know, it's not a bad idea, but it's also you're gonna run into things to where, you know, you may see some sort of you know, good old boys club where they take care of those that they know, and you don't want to have that. You want to have checks and balances in place. You can't have something that may not be, let's say, fair for the average Joe out there, to where, hey, maybe they had a run-in with the officer's son, and now all of a sudden they're going to start taking it out on that person. So I support,
right.
You know, I support the local sheriff station that's there, and I think they do a hell of a job. You know, it's just it's a job that's underappreciated, and we can definitely do something in the community to show the support.
And I agree. I agree with you. Like I said, I'm not. I don't have a single complaint about the sheriff's department. I think they're overworked. I also want to say that we have a great fire department and respectful. We call them. We call the fire department for an ambulance, an emergency, and you know, at 3:34 in the morning, and they came up that alley as quiet as could be, not disturbing all the residents. You know, those off of Connecticut Street is very quiet there. And you know, they showed some respect that I was miffed by it. I was so amazed that they even considered the residents that lived around the home they were going to, because they could have came in, you know, it was an emergency. They could have came in lights and sirens blaring, but they got there just as quick. And we have a respectful, I've met the fire chief. I think he's a great guy. I think, you know, like you say, all the first responders, I respect them as well. And I don't think we have a fire department problem at all. And I really don't think we have a sheriff's department problem at all. But I know it had been raised at a prior city council meeting, and it had been spoken of in the community about, you know, the police station. And I although I thought, you know, it might be a good idea, but then again, I like the idea of that rotation of officers. And so I just wanted to know your opinion on that. And I think you're absolutely correct with that.
Yeah, it keeps it fresh, Peter. It gives it a different perspective. And listen, Imperial Beach is not a small town. So, you know, we have 27,000 people. They call this place home. So there is no way that, you know, a small PD located in Imperial Beach is going to do us any justice. But, yeah, the sheriff's department, once again, I mean, my hats tip to them. They do awesome work around the community.
Well, Moses, I travel a lot. I preach around the country, and I travel a lot. I put 50,000 miles on my brand new car this year, so I do travel a lot, and I've been to a lot of places, and I've met some great people in different states. But I have to tell you, the small town, this beach community feeling, and the people of Imperial Beach are just really incredible people. There's just, you know, they're accepting people. They're well-natured people for the most part. I mean, you know, everybody's got disgruntled people somewhere. But I think we have a unique community. And I think that's one of the main concerns. People are really worried about that. And I think that maybe that could have been or is the motivation behind this present city council and this present management system that they have, is that they're making it so difficult to get you in because they're afraid of that change. And I think we have to change. And I think you're absolutely correct. And I think your vision in that is one that's good. What do you think about our infrastructure itself? I mean, can we improve on that? The electrical and, you know, I'm looking at some of the poles and some of the different things out here by the school, and double what do you call it's on them, and I'm wondering, you know, how do you feel about the infrastructure? Do you think is room for improvement here? Should we maybe think about getting these wires underground instead of having them up above, or what do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I can tell you from personal experience on my block, which I live on Hemlock, Kemp and Hemlock, there are no street lights, you know. So to me, that is one thing. And then the last couple of weeks I've been walking the neighborhood or all of Imperial Beach, you see some streets that have been recently redone, I would say in the last 2-3 years, and yet you see some streets that has not been touched since, I would say, maybe in speaking to folks, one name comes to mind. The gentleman's name was Mike. He told me that he has not, this patch of asphalt that he has in front of his home has not been touched by the city in the last 20-30 years, and there's a lot of patchwork done, deteriorating core infrastructure that's happening to Imperial Beach right now. I mean, there's some places, if you go down 9th and, you know, you look at 9th and there's a gentleman's it almost looks like a sinkhole, Peter, that it's starting to happen there. And it's just like, are we not looking at things like this? And why do we continue to do patchwork, infrastructure all over Imperial Beach? Let's start off again. You know, let's look at the things that we can definitely change today and that are quick turnarounds for the city. And once again, you start fixing the city up, Peter, people are going to start taking pride of Imperial Beach again. Not that they don't have pride already, but it's a good deal situation for its residents.
I agree. I think some of the alleyways and things that have really been neglected is on the east side. And, you know, as I said before, because I have friends on the east side and I've been to the meetings, I've read some articles in the Eagle Times and in the new community paper, and I've read articles and editorials about that east side, and people are saying that, you know, there are alleyways and different things that are, you know, they're just being neglected. And yeah. I think that your vision, you know, solves that problem. But then how are you going to be able to work with those who are not for change? I mean, how are you going to persuade them? This is, you know, like Republican, Democrat, you know, opposition. And so how do you think we get the city council to come on board, you know, whatever members are left after the election, after you're elected? How are we going to get them to come on board to this vision? I mean, you know, obviously the people of Imperial Beach need to realize that change does come, but change is not always bad. Change can be good. And your vision for change is good. And I think that, you know, the hotel down there, that's a nice idea. You know, I was sitting with the city manager and I asked him, well, what's your vision for the rest of Seacoast Drive? And he said, well, to be honest with you, if I had a crystal ball, he said, I would assure you there'll be a Hilton hotel on the other side. And I said, oh, okay. I said, so, you know, there's some things on their back burner that they're really not pushing an agenda for the people in IB to know either. There seems to be an agenda, and I'm not saying that some of our council members have not done a good job. I'm not saying that Serge Dedina wasn't out there, you know, campaigning, and the other prior mayors and these guys have, you know, they've done some good things. But I think we need to come up to speed. We're entering 2017 now, and we don't want to lose our community.
Right. No, I agree with you. I think that. I mean, one of the things, personally for me, community engagement and participation is key, okay? I think that the city can do a better job at developing a culture that values public engagement by making city government more accessible to the people that don't necessarily work in City Hall. And what I mean by that is we as representatives of the city need to be more out and about. And you know what? If there's a facility that sits behind the AutoZone over there that we never get a chance to participating or the city, here's the thing. A lot of people can't make it to City Hall, Peter, and if we can take City Hall to them, that is going to encourage them to participate in what's going on. And people fear change because they don't know about what's about to happen, right? People fear change because they're set in ways. But I tell you what, in politics, you can't always please everyone, Peter. You just got to do what's right for the people. If you make the people part of the process to improve and to implement change, the people will eventually see that and support the change that's going to happen. And I get it, Peter. A lot of people are afraid of the redevelopment change, the hotels going in, the military base being developed, the hotel that's going to sit on the 9th and Palm project. They're afraid of it because they also feel like, well, if this happens, it's going to push me out of Imperial Beach. It's going to raise the home prices, and now I can't afford to live in Imperial Beach. I understand that, and you need to understand one thing about this bill, the redevelopment stuff. I support the local business, Peter. I support giving them first opportunity to move into these redevelopments because, I mean, who doesn't want to go from a smaller place that you've been doing well, and guess what? Something new opens across the street, and they should give you, the person that's been in the city of Imperial Beach for the last 20, 25 years, 30 years, an opportunity to upgrade yourself and, you know, be part of that new development and see the increased foot traffic. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, that's one of my thoughts behind that.
No, I like that. I think you're right. I think that if we don't do something immediately and quickly, that all these people that are moving into these new homes will be headed, instead of coming down towards Imperial Beach, they will go towards Chula Vista, San Ysidro, National City, and out that way. That's what I think. And I think we need to have businesses that will draw them towards us. And I agree. I agree with that. But we're almost out of time. And I appreciate your time. You've given us a great length of time, and we've got to know you a little bit. I'm sure you're much more dynamic. And I encourage anybody who's listened to go meet Moses, talk with him personally, shake his hand, and tell him what's on your heart, because he's a man who's listening and cares about the community. He told you he's been a serviceman. He understands the Constitution of the United States. He defended it. He upheld it. He was a Marine. He's a veteran. We're in one of the largest military installations in the world. We're surrounded by here. And that's important. He understands the community. His children have grown up here. And I think that he's the man that you need to speak to and tell him what's on your heart, whether you agree with him or you disagree with him. You know, he's open to understanding and getting to know the people. But I also, Moses, I want to give you a chance to tell us, before we go off the air, if I was to come to you and say, Moses, why should I vote for you, what would you say?
Well, that's a very good question to close out the segment, Peter. Listen. I've grown up in Imperial Beach. I've seen what Imperial Beach is capable of. And to your point, you brought this up earlier. We used to have the sandcastle, go on for four days. It was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We used to have people come to Imperial Beach for a lot of different things. Here's the thing. With what's going on today, I want to be a voice for the people and do what's right for the people. Okay. I am going to be taking this job as a opportunity to allow change to happen. And once again, I'm going to bring ideas to the table, not ideologies. I can't say that once again. It's about the change that's needed. And the thing that is driving me to continue to pursue this city council opportunity is I hear it, Peter. I hear it in people's – they're frustrated about not being able to deal with the city or not feeling that they listen to you as a resident in Imperial Beach. Honestly, the drive that I have has been from the support that the community has given me. It's time for Imperial Beach to prosper as much as it should. Today, I believe that Imperial Beach is in a pivotal point where – if you don't have the right leadership in place to take us to that next stage for Imperial Beach, they say, what's the definition of insanity is continuing to do the same things over and over and expecting different results, right? In this case, I do truly believe people see that, hey, we definitely need some change there. And if it starts from electing Moses Camacho, which, you know, once again, I am going to work for the people. I am a representative of the people. So one thing that I told Serge in my dealings and speaking to him before I elected or thought of running for city council was some of the ideas was, hey, Serge, do you agree that Imperial Beach needs change? And he's a great guy. But he sees where I'm coming from, that you got to start thinking outside the box. At the same time, Peter, let me say this. You need to be represented by somebody in city hall and city council that is part of the community, right? So today, there is no representation for, I hate to say this, but as a minority in Imperial Beach, there is no representation for the Spanish-speaking community or anything like that. You know, it's just I want to be a voice for everyone. It's not about, you know, ethnicity or beliefs, you know, religious beliefs. It's about doing what's right for the community. And I do believe people see that when I meet with them and, you know, talk about growth together. It's going to be a better place for us to grow or have the kids grow up and our families to, I don't want to say it this way, but to get old together and see small business come back to Imperial Beach, have Imperial Beach be a small business friendly town. At the end of the day, Peter, I think that Imperial Beach has more than its capable share of attracting newcomers to Imperial Beach, and tourism needs to come back, and we need to start thinking bigger than what we do today. You know, I say this all the time. One of the biggest mistakes a small business can make today, Peter, is to continue to operate like a small business. The same thing is going to go for Imperial Beach. We cannot continue to operate like a small city when we know for a fact that with 27,000 people that call this place home, thinking like a small city is not going to get us anywhere. And the thing is, people are afraid of change, but we're here to help see that positive change. And once again, it's all about the people. It's about what's doing what's right. And I have this as a caption on my emails when I send emails out is, you know, leadership is doing what's right when nobody's watching, and that's what you're going to get from me.
There you go. Well, Moses, I want to thank you. Do you have some contact information you can leave behind?
Absolutely, Peter. And, you know, thank you again for your time. You can definitely feel free to give me a call directly at any time, 619-500-4222. And please take a look at my website, which is www.moisescamacho.com, spelled MoisesCamacho.com. And I would appreciate any feedback. I will answer emails, and if you call me, I will definitely give you a call back.
All right. Well, we want to thank you, Moses, for coming on and speaking to us tonight and telling us about your vision. And we're very interested. And, of course, you know that we appreciate your time, and I know how busy you were. I know you're in meetings right now, and you took your time to give us an hour, and that means an awful lot. I think one of the most valuable things that anybody can give anybody is their time. And because you can't get it back. And we thank you, Moses. And you have a great night. And Moses Camacho, make sure you get out there and talk to him, meet him. He's available. He's local. He's got some answers for you. He'll listen to you. Thank you again, Moses. Before we go off the air, I want to mention Rafael Torres. Rafael Torres is a local fella here who has a plumbing business. And, you know, I met him several years ago. He was working in my home, and he did some great work for us on Connecticut Street. And now he's in it. He has his own business. And just by chance, I ran into him today. He happened to come by, and, you know, it was like a family member. He's such a great guy. I mean, this guy is personable. So I wanted to give out the information here. Anybody down in Imperial Beach or in that area, and I know that we're international, and I know there are people from, you know, South Korea all the way around the world that listen, tune into this program, and the East Coast archives it. But I want to tell you, Rafael Torres, he's got a plumbing business, and he does fixture installations that start about $77. He'll clean your drains for about $49. He's honest. He's reliable. He'll work with you. He'll help you with your finances. He'll tell you the best options you have, and he'll show it to you with a camera. He's not going to play a game with you. This is an honest man, and he calls his business Lefties, and I believe that's because he's left-handed, but Lefties Plumbing. And you can reach him at 619-717-4152 or Mr. Torres at lefties-plumbing.com. And, you know, I don't want to sound like a commercial broadcast station, but, you know, every now and then I like to give men opportunity, especially God-fearing men that I know love the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'd like to give them an opportunity to come onto this program and talk about their business and let other Christians know that there are men out there who love the Lord also, and there are men that have God consciousness, and they're in business here, and why shouldn't we help them get on the air and have the exposure that they certainly and rightfully deserved. And so I want to thank the listening audience today. Scott, thank you for calling in. Moises, we thank you again. Brother Lewis, as always, it's a pleasure to have you with me and co-host with me tonight. And Lewis, what's your call sign? Because if you're interested in Christian literature, you know, as I said, Lewis is a historian, an author, a theologian, and he has some information that I'd like him to give out tonight also.
Well, I wrote a novel about a teenager who saw Jesus Christ and what he said and what he thought and what his family thought, that sort of thing. And it's on my website, www.lewishb.tv. That's LewishB, the B as in boy, .tv. And also got some great sermons, I think, there and some other stories and stuff that'll really make your day if you're really a believer. And thank you, Brother Peter.
Amen. Thank you. And remember, we're the Bible Believers Baptist Church of Imperial Beach. We meet at the Boys and Girls Club on Sundays and evenings from 5:30 to 6:30. You can get some Bible preaching there. We have some guest preachers from time to time. It's a small church. We've just planted it. We've been there in the Boys and Girls Club for a short time, and we hope to grow with Imperial Beach as it grows. And also, we have a Wednesday night Bible study at my home and some refreshments after. There's always some good fellowship. And my number is 203-240-0377. And people say, well, why do you have a Connecticut area code? Well, I have a New England area code because when I moved to California, I had so many friends and pastors and Christian brothers and businessmen that I knew that I just didn't want to change my phone number. So you can reach me again at 203-240-0377. If you have any questions about tonight's program, or please just call in. And I want to thank Nathan down there in South Carolina for handling that switchboard, and appreciate it. Next week we're doing a special on New Age cults and religions, and we're going to talk about that in politics, and we're going to open some eyes to see a little something different than what's going on, what's normally seen. Yes, Brother Lewis.
And about the coming great delusion, the great deception that's talked about in 2 Thessalonians. As well, hope to do quite a bit about that as well, because it all ties together.
Amen. All right, well, we want to thank you. I want to thank my wife, Marilyn, for her support, and my associate pastor, Scott Bruff, and his wife and family, and Kitty Fred, and those there, and those who are praying for us. We've had some prayer requests from Sister Jones. She's traveling, and I want to thank you for praying for R.C. Wetzel. He made it back home safe. And so we thank you for your prayers. We know we're running a different type of program tonight, but I think this is important. It's what God put on my heart, and I hope that it's been fruitful. And remember, we opened that verse that said if our people would pray for their land, for their country, if they'd repent and turn from their sin and turn from their way. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would encourage you to ask Jesus Christ to reveal himself to you. Find a good King James Version Bible. Come down and see us at the church. I'd love to talk to you personally. I want to thank you. We're going to offer a prayer, and then we're going to get out of here. Father God, we ask you in the name of Jesus that you bless this listening audience. We thank you for their patience and their time tonight. We thank you for our guests and ask you to bless them and to keep them safe, Lord. And God, we ask you that you bring our program back on following Thursday, Lord, and we'd be able to bless people. You bless this listening audience and keep them safe, Lord. Put your angels before and behind them. And the prayer requests we've received, Lord, that you would honor those, Lord, and answer those. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, Nathan, I'm going to turn this over to you, and you have a good night.
All right.
Good night, audience.
Amen.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm you have called me. Meet the Your likeness.